You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
It's time for our weekly catch-up with ACT Party Deputy Leader Brooke Van Velden.
So this week I touched on two topics with Brooke. Firstly, the cycleway which has been announced for Auckland across the Waitemata Harbour, right next to the Harbour Bridge, and this is something that Brooke opposed last week when we talked about the protest that went forward. Now, ACT has, as a party, has opposed this and says that it would cost $50 per person for the bridge compared to the $10 that Jacinda Ardern said it would cost. In the second half of our chat, we talk about gangs and Nicole McKee, the justice spokesperson for ACT, who reached out to gangs to talk to them. And we also talked about some of ACT's gang policies. So here's our chat. So last week you opposed the protest and said it wouldn't make change. And now we've seen the announcement of the bridge. Do you have anything to say about this?
Yeah, the government has come out and announced its new infrastructure plans, cutting spending in areas where they had promised it previously, on new roads and areas around Auckland, and also putting aside money for this new northern pathway to allow cyclists and pedestrians to walk or cycle across the Harbour Bridge on a separate path. The issue I have with this is that we need to know what are the costs and the benefits for this walking cycling bridge that is being proposed so that we can actually judge whether it's really worth it. And the ACT Party is asking for the Transport Minister to actually release the analysis that he has because we need to know with actual evidence whether this actually stacks up.
So your party said that it would cost $50 per person for the crossing. Is it still not worth it if it means that 3,000 cars are off State Highway 1 while also providing a sustainable and potentially faster transport option for Aucklanders?
Well, according to the latest census, driving a car or a truck or a van is the main way of getting to work for around 70% of Aucklanders. Cycling only came in at 0.9%, so less than 1%.
Shouldn't we try and change that then? Shouldn't we try and change that, make people or get people to choose a more sustainable transport option?
Oh, you could say you want more people to cycle if you want to, but ultimately you have to ask, well, what do people want to do? And I don't believe that we should be forcing people to take a particular transport route. If we look at how this will actually affect Auckland and productivity and people's ability to get to work in a good amount of time, we need to know from facts and evidence, and knowing that the minister has actually looked at the costs of, you know, how much money would go into providing for this pathway and the maintenance and how much this comes down to per person versus the benefits. But also looking at what is the benefits of potentially that other motorway project that could have been used to help people get to work too. Because you certainly cannot discount the fact that people do need to be able to get to where they're going. And if 70% of people are driving a car, a truck or a van to work already, we need to actually know what areas and issues the minister is trading up when it's deciding to put a huge amount of money into a cycleway. And we need to know what is the basis for the minister thinking this is a good idea.
Has ACT considered that maybe people are driving trucks to work because there is literally no other option for them except to do so, because we've built this city off the fact that everyone has to drive to get anywhere they actually want to instead of having a potential other option?
We need to know whether people would actually want to take up this choice. So I'm asking for the evidence and the facts behind this decision. What information does the minister have that is allowing him to create this decision that they're putting aside so much money for a walk and cycle way when we don't actually know what analysis he's done to allow him to come to that conclusion. And it could be that he's decided to do a survey of the populace and 50% of Aucklanders would take up cycling overnight. I doubt that that would happen, but we don't actually know what facts he's working with, and so we need to release that analysis.
So if ACT opposes this, what does ACT propose as a sustainable transport option for Aucklanders instead coming from the North Shore?
Well, we're wanting to have a feasible transport system that works so people can
sustainable. What about it being sustainable, not just feasible, but sustainable?
Well, if you look at a whole range of different options, I mean, one idea, of course, could be that you put in place pricing for roads, so more people carpool and cost share, so that the roads actually take into account the efficiency and people, you know, having that cost put onto their own transport in a way that they can determine whether they need to get somewhere, you know, at 9 o'clock in the morning, or whether they could delay that and save a little bit of money and go at 10. There are a whole range of options that are on the table for transport, but the most important part that this comes down to is we need to know what evidence there is that this cycleway would actually be the most sustainable option, because it's only on the face of it that you're saying that it's a sustainable option for the future. But ultimately, you could end up with this huge amount of infrastructure that nobody uses. How do we know that people will actually take it up? We need to know what evidence the minister is using for these claims.
So how are we supposed to unclog our motorways if we keep putting our money towards motorways and not offering any other options for travellers except using our motorways?
Well, I think you need to come back to the fact that you can't force people to cycle, and you can't force people to walk to work. You need to be allowing for people to get to places, but also basing your idea of what is sustainable transport on evidence and on.
Couldn't you say that we're forcing people to take the motorways?
And what are the benefits?
Couldn't you say we're forcing people to take the motorways, seeing as it's the only option for a lot of people to get from one place to another?
I definitely wouldn't call that forcing. I mean, people can also use Zoom if they wish. But ultimately, this does come down to the problem that we can't have governments creating policy and putting aside money on the fact that there might be a lobby group who says it's a good idea. We need to actually be using taxpayer money wisely, because infrastructure, you're right, it shapes the face of our future. But we need to be making sure that that future is one that is based on the ability for people to act in the way that they want to act themselves. And 70% of Aucklanders already drive and bike, drive a car or a truck or a van to work. We need to be putting evidence into our decisions on infrastructure, not just making decisions based on what sounds good or who is the last person to lobby the minister.
Okay, so moving on to our next topic for this week, we're talking about gangs. Do you have anything to say about one of your party members, Nicole McKee, criticising Minister Jackson for visiting a gang when she planned to do the exact same thing herself?
I do, actually. So Nicole is completely different here to the minister. So what has happened with Nicole is that we have a policy where we would hit the gangs where it hurts. Now, Nicole was going to the gangs and saying, hey, we are coming after you. That is a very different way of dealing with the gangs than wanting to sit around a table and ask to work with the gangs. Because ultimately, we have a huge problem in our society at the moment. We have a 50% increase in gang numbers since 2017. You know, there are over 2,000 new people on the gang register. And at the same time, The police have only recruited 1,277 additional members. So it's over double the gang recruitment than the police. And so if we don't stand up to the gang and hit them where it hurts, it's only a matter of time before innocent members of the public will get caught up into gang violence. And so Nicole was doing the right thing. She was going out there and saying, hey, we're coming after you.
So how is the policy that ACT is proposing different to what the government is already planning to implement when it comes to seizing assets and cracking down on gangs?
Well, the policy that we put in place creates a new threshold for seizing of assets. So if a... So if a gang member is found with an illegal firearm in connection to a crime, then the police would be able to seize their assets. Now, this is an area that we pushed for and put forward, and thankfully the government has taken up part of that idea. And so this is just the power of the ACT Party and being in opposition and being able to put those ideas forward. And obviously, even if the government says that they're now wanting to take some of our ideas, that doesn't mean that we stop advocating for them. It means that we work even harder to create even more ideas that the government can pick up that will hit the gangs where they hurt.
That was Brooke van Velden from the ACT Party.
That was Deputy Leader Brooke van Velden from the ACT Party.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.